Church. If you can please take your seats, and when you do, turn in your song books to song number 296. Song number 296. Follow on. Song number 296.
Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the fountains are flowing and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on, follow.
Father, thank you for today and everything that you've done for us, Lord. Please help us to lift up our voices in praise and adoration to you. Lord, please help us to follow you in everywhere that you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, turn in your song books to song number 374. Song number 374, Send the Light. Song number 374.
And at this time, we're going to go over the bulletin. So if you need one, put your hand high in the sky, and somebody will see your hand, hopefully, and bring you a bulletin. If you have your bulletin, open it up really quick. Once again, service times on the left, upper left-hand corner. Right below that is our soul winning times. And right at the very bottom is our salvations and baptisms for the year. And on the right side, happy birthday to everyone on this list that has a birthday this month. And also happy anniversary to everyone on this list that has an anniversary this month. You know, and also at the very bottom, a quick note, if you are interested in a cruise missions trip organized by Brother Kevin Rowe independently of the church, he has provided his cost and itinerary details near the small town soul winning and reservation maps, which is right over there, those three clipboards. That's where you can get more info. If you want more information, go up to Brother Rowe and he'll help you as best he can. On the back of the bulletin, all ladies and teen girls are invited to a baby shower in honor of Peyton Cockabaker. I hope I got that last name right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Cockabaker. Keika Baker. I knew I screwed up something. My bad. Don't worry, I'll pay for it. You know how it goes. You reap what you sow. You know, people email me all the time, Brother Seguro, Brother Cigarette, Brother Cigara. You know, this is my way to get even with people. Cockabaker. Other than that, we're going to have cake and refreshments. They'll be provided. Please bring a dish to share. They're going to have a potluck. No nurselings only preferred. And please RSVP to Miss Jenny Akinosho. And you don't know who that is. She's somewhere around here. Where are you at, Jenny? Right over there with the yellow shirt to make it easy on all of us. Amen. All right. So besides that, please take a look at those upcoming events. And besides that, I think that's all I got. All right. Next song, please.
Turn in your songbooks to song number 263, song number 263, Verily, Verily, song number 263.
Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He has made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith He, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son is true, hath everlasting life. All my iniquities on Him were laid, all my indebtedness by Him was. All who believe on Him, the Lord has said, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son is true, hath everlasting life. Trust my Lord, though weak and sinful, I believe His word. Oh, glad message every child of God hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son is true, hath everlasting life. Though all unworthy, yet I will not doubt, for Him that cometh He will not cast out. He that believeth, though the good news shout, hath everlasting life.
We'll sing one last song before the preaching, song number 351, song number 351, Tell It to Jesus, song number 351.
Are you weary?
at this time, we're going to pass the offering plate. And as we're passing out the offering plate, please turn your Bibles to the book of Jude. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Jude.
In the book of Jude, the Bible reads, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they knew not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for Faith Word Baptist Church, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's come to church this morning. Lord, pray that you'd fill Brother Segura with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you'd open all of our ears and our hearts to hear the message this morning and help us to love one another more. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So the verse that I want to focus on is right there in verse number 23 that says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And that's the title of my sermon, is pulling them out of the fire. So this morning, I just want to have like a quick little, I guess you can say, soul winning seminar. And I'll explain why in a second. So it's just going to be really quickly just me, how I give the gospel. And I'm just going to focus on one particular thing that I think I need to highlight when we're out there giving the gospel, just something that I've seen throughout the years that I think is good for me to bring up, especially for new people. You know, but it's not going to be totally long, just kind of like a quick little tricks, you know, and tips on how to, you know, go out there and give the gospel so you can have the best time that you possibly can. Because I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy giving the gospel. You know, I've been doing it since I believe it was 2003 when I first went out soul winning almost 22 years ago. And my first experience was horrible. You know, I was just kind of thrown into the fire. I didn't pull anyone out of the fire, but I pulled people, or at least I was thrown into the fire. You know, and it was horrible at the time. I'd just been out the military, I don't know how many weeks, but I had a very bad profanity problem, and so you could believe that that came out a lot at the door. But I got the point across, and they understood with all my profanity and my slang and my ghetto-ness, they understood my point. They were like, hey, so you're telling me that if I believe in Jesus, he'll give me eternal life, and I can live however I want? I'm like, yeah. That's what the Bible says, but you're going to get chastised. Then they start bringing up these perverted examples, and I'm like, well, the answer is yes. But if you do those things, you will be chastised. Because if God loves you, I knew enough about the Bible by then. He says he's going to chastise you if you get into sin like that. And they're like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. That's way different than what I've been taught. But probably because of, you know, who I was or all my profanity, they probably just need a little bit of time to think about it. Who knows? You know, but we make no bones about it here at Faithful Word Baptist Church. When we go soul winning, we go out there to save people. That's what we're doing. And people get offended. Just got an email or saw a comment, I don't remember, but it wasn't that long ago, a day or 2 days ago. Somebody's like, hey, man, we don't save people, right? Jesus does all the saving. Well, what does it say right here in 1 Corinthians 9:22? If you have your Bible, go ahead and go to Mark 9:43. Go to Mark 9:43 and just wait for me there. And just in case you're wondering, because I'm sure some of you are not, because if you're like me, hey, you know what? Memory fades, and that's a good thing. But I do want to set my stopwatch, as my manner is, just because I don't want to go past the hour and a half that I did last time. I don't know if you ever remembered last time. And I'm thinking, how did I preach for an hour and 20-something plus minutes? My goal was only 30. Well, then I looked at my notes, and I had 13 pages. So today, 2 pages, amen? 2 pages. So stick with me. 2 pages, I promise, and 3 props. 3 props. And I was wondering, man, what should I preach about this morning? But then I was thinking, you know what? The thing that's been on my heart is just this one thing about soul winning that I think I need to point out that I don't think a lot of people know unless they've been going out for a while. And I don't know if you can take a look around, but we got new people. And so we need to kind of maybe get them to catch up. So, of course, my purpose of this sermon is to get you guys even better at soul winning as fast as possible, and to kind of beware of falsely converting people. And I'll explain that, you know, as soon as I possibly can. But let me just go over some verses that we use to prove that, hey, we can go around telling people that we got this person saved, we got that person saved. I mean, I think Jude 1:23 is a great verse to explain how soul winning is. Because once again, it says, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, pulling them. It's not always easy. Pulling someone is not always easy. Some are easier than others. You know, like my son, Savian, the little knucklehead, it's easy for me to do curls with him. But then obviously they get heavier as they get older. Then I got my son, Stephen. Yeah, good luck trying to lift that boy. But before Stephen is Shoshana, and I don't know, I think she weighs more than Stephen. She's a little heavy. But that's kind of how it is when you're out there soul winning. You know, some people are harder than others. But still, this morning, I want to help you just kind of get that muscle nice and strong. I'm going to just help you exercise it and get you to think of some things that you may not realize are going on when you're out there giving the gospel. And for those of you that are new, aren't really sure what we're talking about, soul winning is obviously when we go door to door out in different neighborhoods. We've got a big map over there to keep us organized. We go from house to house, like the Bible says, and we try to get people saved. But hey, you guys at a Baptist church, I'm sure you know what you're getting yourself into. Amen? But here's another verse, Romans 11:14. If by enemies I may provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh, and might save some of them. So Paul is talking about Jews, and he's like, hey, hopefully I can get these guys, you know, to just pay attention and listen, you know, because they're hard-hearted towards the gospel. But I know I can't save them all because the majority of my people are rejecting Christ. You know, but I'm still going to do it. Why? That I might save some of them. We can't save them all, but we can save some. Amen? Revelation 20:15 tells us what we're saving him from. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's why we do what we do, because we don't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. We believe it's real. When we go out there, we know what we're doing. You know, we're going out there to pull people out of the fire. We're going out there to save some people today. So when they're like, hey, what'd you do today? I went out there trying to save people from the fire. What did you do? Well, I was watching TV this afternoon. That was the culture back in my old church, when nobody really cared about souls, just a handful of people, and we tried to motivate the rest, but it was very difficult. But we kept going. We figured no one else is going to go, we're going to keep going. But that's what ended up happening the majority of the afternoons between services, is nobody went anywhere except home to watch some TV and then come back for the evening service. That was their activities. But in case you haven't looked at the bulletin, hey, we got soul winning 3 times a day, Monday through Saturday, and 5 times on Sunday. So if you're here, hey, we got something for you. We got some soul winning times that you can partake anytime you want. And you have to start somehow. But I promise you, if you come up to any of the soul winning times, there'll be somebody that can talk, and you don't have to say a single word. Unlike when I first came out, they promised me I wouldn't have to say anything. Hey, oh, you're going to be a silent partner. And I end up doing 99% of the talking. Not because I wanted to, because I had to. We ended up going to an apartment complex. There was nothing but Spanish speakers, and my pastor did not speak any Spanish. So, of course, I'm like, hey, I don't know what to do. Hey, you want them to burn in hell? It's like, no, do something. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Señor, excuse me. And I did my best, but they knew the message I was preaching. And so, of course, when I think about souls, I'm kind of ready in case somebody ever says, why do you do this? Why are you knocking on doors? I'm going to just say, because I don't want you to burn like an oven. And what do you mean by that? Malachi, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And that's what I think of. I burned myself many times trying to grab something in the oven. I just did it the other day, you know, try to be sneaky and try to grab the little piece that I think is cold and accidentally. It's like playing that game. What is that game? Is it the one where you like have to pick like a bone or something? What is it? Operation. That's kind of what it was. I was doing operation with a hot oven over here thinking I can grab it. I can hold it. It's not that big of a deal. I just don't have to touch this piece of metal. Bam. And as soon as I thought that, I ended up touching it. I'm burning and I'm doing a little happy dance, you know, just like, oh, man, what the. So, of course, I know the pain that's going to, you know, come upon those that don't get saved. You know, when I think of it, they're going to burn as an oven. It's like, man, I got to save as many as I can with the one life that I have to live. Well, let me put it this way. Not live, but give. Because we got eternal life. We got this life and the next life. So we don't have one life to live. Live it up. Go enjoy life. Hey, I enjoy life. But let's just face it. Hey, this is a war. And no man that warreth entangles themselves with the affairs of this life. That's what the Bible says. He says, hey, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, that ye may please him who has chosen thee to be a soldier. So let's soldier up and get as good as we possibly can and go fight the battle. And the battle is the battle for souls, whether you do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you name it. Yes, I can do it just about every single day. But listen, when I was working for Cox Cable, all I had was just Sundays between services. And I knew it sucked. I worked Monday through Saturday. It was a pain. And I had to force myself to go out. And there was at least a couple of times that I passed out in the van because I was so tired. This was my only day off, but I knew I had to get out there and win some souls. Because guess what? That's the whole purpose of my life. And if you think about it, that's a great purpose. It's an amazing purpose. You know, it's sad to say, but my kids, they train jiu-jitsu. You know, they do jiu-jitsu a lot. They're really good at it. I don't want to say which one just got a gold medal, but she just got a gold. There you go, I messed it up. They just got a gold medal. But you know what? Here's the thing. Unfortunately, this week, one of their training partners, he's from Brazil. And this training partner was just like a regular day, wakes up just like any other day, goes to the gym. My kids are at the gym. Everybody's meeting up. They're in the pro class. And so they're all getting ready to compete. And the coach walks in. And he calls this kid out. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you in the office. Everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? Kid gets up, goes to the office. Next thing you know, this happened maybe 3 days ago. Happened on Friday, I believe. Or Saturday, but I think it was Friday. So he comes out of the office and he starts heading towards the bathroom. And you could tell he's physically shaking. You could tell he's all teared up. And then sure enough, my kids finally found out that the coach called him in the office to tell him that his mother just committed suicide in Brazil. And he couldn't believe it. So he's going to the bathroom just talking to himself like, how could this happen? How could this happen? And this is what happens when you just don't think you have a purpose in life. This is when you start listening to that deceitful heart of yours. And I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me just want to go out even more. Because guess what? Where there's one, there's a million more. People that are just on the brink of killing themselves. We get those emails. Sometimes I call them and I have a conversation, and then later on they're sending me an email, hey, thanks for talking me out of doing it. And it's like, praise the Lord, you woke up. But you know what? I think as long as you keep that in front of your face and you realize, you know what? I have a purpose. That purpose is to save souls. That purpose is to rescue people out of the fire. That purpose is to keep people from burning as an oven. I think you'll have a hard time killing yourself. Amen? Amen. So let's stay focused on the main thing. It's not the only thing, but it's the main thing to get out there and seeking to save those which are lost. Amen. So next, the next mother that's thinking about killing herself, and he had a younger sister. And just so you know, this kid is 16 years old. 16 years old, out here training, trying to bring honor to his family, win a gold medal in the kids' Pan Games that they have next month. And now he's just broken, completely broken, and we don't know what's going on with him at this point. But you know what? First chance I get, guess what I'm going to try to do? Pull him out of the fire. Amen? Amen? And let's not forget that it's a literal fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says this, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, in case people are still wondering, hey, what are we being saved from? Hey, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And you're thinking, this doesn't make any sense. We're all saved. We all believe in hell. We all believe hell is real. But guess what? Not everybody does. And so the thing is this. Obviously, everybody here, I've gone soul winning with a lot of you, and y'all do a great job. A lot of you guys have different ways of doing business, and that's okay. It's a million ways to skin a cat. Amen? Amen? So I'm not about, hey, you know what? You should do it my way. I'm not about that. There's just one thing that I want to quickly get to that I want to bring up because I've seen it throughout the years. And in case you're thinking, surely we all believe hell is fire. Come on, brother, girl, you're wasting your time on us. Am I? Am I? Because let me tell you something. I think it was about 20-something, no, I can't say that long. I don't know how long it was, but it was over 20 years ago. Me and my wife were giving this church member a ride home. She's been at this church for over 20-plus years. She's gone soul winning. She passes out tracts. She does her thing. She's been at this church for about 20-something years, my church back home. We're giving her a ride. We're talking to her. We start talking about how we got saved. And she starts talking about how she got saved. That some Baptist guy came up to her. Sorry if I'm wiping my nose. Came up to her, started asking her if she's saved. She's like, I don't know, gave her the gospel. Then she ended up basically saying, yeah, I'm glad he gave me the gospel. You know, I'm so happy that he gave me the gospel. You know, I ended up getting saved that day. And we're thinking, amen. But then she said, I didn't believe in hell when I got saved, but I know I got saved. And at that point, we didn't give an amen. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What were you trying to escape? What did you get saved that day from? And so we just kept listening and listening, and we're like, this woman is not saved. I mean, come on. Do you really think you're saved if you didn't believe that you were being saved from hell? Do you really think you're saved, or do you really believe somebody's saved if they think that somebody can be saved that doesn't believe in hell? No, that's what you're being saved from the flaming fire, from eternal damnation, from everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what we're being saved from. I mean, I knew what I was being saved from when I got saved. Hey, I knew I deserved hell. I just didn't know Jesus died for all of my sins. I knew he died, but I didn't realize he died for every single one of my sins. And I for sure didn't know eternal life was a gift. I thought it was a reward. I'm so glad that somebody showed me that. And when I saw that, it blew me away. Amen. I could not believe it. I was a little upset that I've been going to church my whole life and nobody ever brought that up. But of course, I was going to the Catholic church. So of course, no one's going to bring that up. And of course, the one person that brought it up in my life was a Baptist pastor. And that blew my mind and it changed me. I'm like, wow. And he said, do you believe it? Yes, I do. Do you want that gift? Absolutely. Well, look, it says it's the only person that can give it to you. Who is it? Well, it says right there in Romans, it's through Jesus. And he's like, hey, listen, I want to tell you exactly what you have to do. And he gave me the gospel. He's like, you believe it? Yes, I do. Then before I go, I want to help you pray and ask Jesus to give you eternal life right now. That way we know for sure you have it. I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. All right, my friend is like, I'm going to help you with the words, but it's your faith that's going to get you saved, not my words. You understand? Absolutely. Ended up doing the sinner's prayer afterwards. He said, hey, listen, so if you die right now, where are you going to go? I'm going to heaven. Why is that? Because I believe. He's like, amen. But when he asked me that earlier, I said, because I'm baptized. Because I got the Pope. That was one of my answers. Because in case you can't tell, I'm a Marine. Surely if I go and die for my country, God will let me into heaven. That's literally what I told him. Because I was in my Marine uniform. That's why he was interested, or he came up to me, was interested to see who I was. You know, I just got recalled back, and I was in my Marine uniform. And so, yeah, I thought being somebody who would give their lives, you know, for others, surely they'll enter in heaven. Hey, and if you think that's stupid, well, who was I going soul winning with? And some girl says, I'm going to Valhalla. Who was with me? Yeah, right? So we knock on this door, and this girl, we're like, hey, if you die today, where are you going to go? Are you going to heaven? Nope, but I'm going to Valhalla. Okay, come on, admit it. Who knows what Valhalla is? All right, let me catch everybody up to speed. Valhalla is a fake heaven that has to do with, I know I spoke to Pastor about it, but I'm going to give you the dumbed down version. It's Thor, it's Marvel Comics. All right? That's where Thor would go if he would have not just died, but in order for you to make it to Valhalla, you have to die in battle. You have to die in war. That's not far different from what I believed when I was a Catholic. Laugh it up, because that's funny. Come on. Not too different. Pretty much the same answer, right? Then we kind of decided to go with it. We're like, well, listen, how are you going to enter into Valhalla if you're not fighting a war? What war are you fighting? She sat there like, you got a point. Am I lying? She's like, you're right. I got to go find me a war to fight. Because that's the only way you're going to make it to Valhalla. You have to die in battle. That's the only way. And she wasn't fighting any battles. Maybe she fights them in, who knows, her head. I don't know. But those don't count. But bottom line, this is what happened with that lady. She said that she doesn't believe you need to believe in hell in order to be saved. Oh, I had to double check that. I'm like, you know what? Let me double check that. Not. I ain't double checking nothing. That's what you have to believe in order to be saved. And listen, that wasn't the only person who said that. That was from an independent fundamental King James only soul winning Baptist church, so to speak. I was interested in just kind of seeing what my old churches were up to about 4 years ago. And so I decided to Google the two biggest churches. One that I went to, one was Redwood Baptist. Yeah, they were just kind of like lame looking. They're more like liberal, the purple lights. You know, the pastor has like probably the same people since I was there. Then I figured, okay, well, let me see what the other church I used to go to is up to. And that's North Valley Baptist Church. So I decided to listen to whatever the latest sermon was from the pastor of that church, Pastor Treber, Jack Treber. So I decided to listen to it. And so I'm listening and listening, and it's because it popped up while I'm uploading videos. I'm like, oh, North Valley has a channel now. What, 5,000? Man, they have like 8,000 members. I'm like, hey, let me see what they're up to. Just curious. I'm like, let me see what he's preaching. Clicked on it. He's preaching. I'm listening to the whole thing. Then he talks about a person that he recently got saved. He's like, I was also in amen, and I met this man, and I gave him the gospel, and I prayed with him. And that man got saved, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, he got saved. And we were talking, we were just chatting it up, you know, I had time to talk. And I'm talking to this man, and I told him, praise the Lord, one day when I go home, I don't have to worry about hell anymore. And he said something that just shocked me. He said, sir, I don't believe in hell. What do you mean? I think that's just people say to get people into church. And I'm thinking, what did he just say? Gay? So he got a person saved, he's praising, he's excited, starts to chit-chat with the guy. Somehow, some way, hell gets brought up again, and the guy finally says, hey, I don't believe in hell, I think that place ain't real. Sir, it's very real. But praise the Lord, this man at least is saved. That is damnable heresy. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the good news. What's the good news? That guess what? You can be saved for free. You don't have to go to hell. Salvation is a gift. It's eternal forever. That's the gospel. Amen. Not like, well, if you believe on Jesus, you'll be saved from something. We don't know what it is, but you're saved from something. What in the world? So here's the bottom line. That is not the only time I've heard it. And so, of course, I spoke to Pastor Jimenez. I'm like, yeah, I got a question for you. Back here, who knows how long ago, just curious. I didn't know that he is now friends with Treber. But I'm like, yeah, I got a question. Can somebody be saved if they don't believe in hell? He's like, absolutely not. Don't they have to believe in hell, the hell of the Bible, where it's the everlasting fire, you know, the lake of fire? Don't they have to believe that in order to be saved? Of course. That's what I'm thinking. Because I just listened to a sermon from Pastor Jack Treber, and he says, no, you're good. It's like, yeah, that's what I thought. What the heck? And I just left it alone. Do what you want with that info. No, I'm just kidding. But that is a true story, and I don't know if you ask him, he might remember the conversation. It was right in there. We're walking back into the auditorium, and I'm like, hey, I got a question for you. Because here's the deal. I've seen people pray with people, and later it turns out that individual didn't get saved, and these people were just hell-bent on counting them. I'm like, nah, brah, we don't do that here at Faithful Word. If people don't believe in hell, hey, I'm sorry, but we ain't counting that person. You got to get your doctrine straight, my boy. And that's a fact. And so, of course, you're going to run into these situations. You know, and that's kind of the thing that I try to get to right away, especially if I think, you know what, I don't know if I can get this person saved, like, in the next 20 minutes. Looks like he doesn't have time. So what I like to do, obviously, knock on the door, just really quickly, I'm going to just go through kind of what I do. And then I'm going to park it. And then I'm just going to explain a little bit more of what I'm talking about. Because that's one of the things that I've seen and I've noticed. And as an example, I think, is Lola here? Your wife ain't here? She's in the back? Lola might remember this story. So we were in Mexico, and we were giving the gospel out in Mexico. And so we had, I don't know how many, 13, 14 people, but we're in this one part of Mexico, and it was Imuriz, and we were there the whole day. But then the next day, we decided to drive 20 minutes later. So we decided to drive 20 minutes later. And so what happened is we just started, you know, driving. We got to another location, started giving the gospel. I see some kids. I walk up to the kids. I'm like, hey, I got a question. You know, it's like, do you guys go to church? They're like, oh, yeah, we're Catholic, this and that or whatever. And so then I start saying, hey, you know what? If you guys died right now, where are you going to go? And they're like, we don't know. We're like, okay, well, you know what? The Bible says you can know. You know, do you guys got, because they were walking. So I'm like, do you guys got time to talk? They're like, sure. So then we started giving them the gospel. And they were giving the right answers. They were giving the right answers, like, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, we're all sinners, this and that. And I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting. And so it was what it was. I just got to the part where I told them, hey, listen, because of our sins, you know, we deserve hell. And I just happened to throw it out there. Do you guys believe in hell? And they said without even thinking, they're like, nope, we don't. We don't believe in it. Okay, well, can I show you where the Bible talks about hell? And they're like, sure. And I started giving them the gospel. And then afterwards, I started asking them, well, what's the one thing? It seemed like they got it except for that part. And then afterwards, I'm like, what do you have to do? What do you think you have to do to go to heaven? They're like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm like, how do they know this? You know, what's going on? I was just confused because they said they were Catholic, but they're giving the right answers, but they didn't believe in hell. And I said, where did you learn that all you have to do is believe? Oh, we learned it from those guys over there. And it was one of our soul winners. It was a couple of our soul winners walking, you know, from another location. I'm like, they taught you this? I'm like, okay, no wonder you're like 99% there. And I just wrapped it up and just told them, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is what I believe. You know what? You have to believe in hell in order to be saved. Do you understand now what you're being saved from? And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, well, hey, this is what you have to believe. You know, do you understand it? Yeah, but more importantly, do you believe it? Yes, I do. Again, the whole thing. It's like, well, listen, if this is what you believe, then before I go, hey, only you know if you need to get saved. You know, would you like me to help you, you know, pray and ask Christ to save you? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And we ended up praying with them. And once we were done, the guys come over and they're like, yeah, we spoke to them yesterday. They're already saved. But when I asked them, they weren't. They weren't sure. And they sure as hell didn't believe in hell. And that's just kind of what I've noticed is that especially like younger people, you know, I told you that, hey, pulling them out of the fire, some people are harder to pull than others. You know, sometimes kids, or they were young, they were teenagers, they tend to agree, but internally, they disagree. Because they're nice kids. And you kind of have to be careful with the people that are slow to answer, and then you're just feeding them the answer, And they just repeat it because they know if I say no, he's going to talk more and I kind of want to go back to my video games. It's just what happens. I hear you laughing now. Remember that story, Lola? Those kids in Mexico, you're like, hey, come talk to these kids. Don't worry, you'll remember sooner or later. But to just wrap up this sermon, I'm 23 minutes in. Here's pretty much what I tried to do, because it's getting worse and worse and worse. See, back in my day when I was 18, 19, 20, 16, 14, we all thought every time we said hell, hell is a place of fire, hell is a place that you're going to be punished forever, hell is eternal. Nowadays, kids, they don't even know what it is. It's just facts. They just don't know. They've been watching too much Valhalla. So they're confused by Thor and everybody else on the Marvel team. So we need to make sure that we do the best job we can. And that's it, because I don't want people praying and I guess you can say falsely converting these people. But just to kind of give you an idea of what I do really quickly, and then I'll kind of explain how I start talking about hell, you know, because I have to change things a little bit. And it's not too different than what 99.9% of you guys do. And the people that have been going soul winning for a while, hey, you guys are laughing because you've seen this. You know what I'm saying. You probably experienced it more than once. But the newer crowd is kind of who I'm aiming to kind of like educate or just kind of bring to light this information. You know, so of course, every single time I knock on a door, walk up to someone, whether it's in a cab, you name it, one of the things that I like to ask is like, hey, have you ever been to a Baptist church? The goal is to quickly get into hell, quickly start talking about hell. Why? Because I need to give them a reason to keep listening. Because I've had many people say, oh, I don't got time, not right now, I don't got 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, can I just show you one thing on the back of this paper? You know, this is a little QR code. If you scan it, it takes you to a video where you can watch the whole thing, but can I just quickly show you something on the back of it? And they're like, sure. And so what I like to do is take them to Romans 5:8, and I use Romans 5:8 to kind of get into hell right away. And what Romans 5:8 says, it says, but God commendeth his love towards us, because the other verses I just quote. So I told him I'm going to show him one thing, but I'm going to quote everything on this piece of paper. Call it sneaky, call it what you want. So they usually say yes to me just showing them one thing on this piece of paper, because it looks tiny and how much information could possibly on that piece of paper. That's what they're thinking. But I've done it many times, and 20 minutes later, they're praying. They're praying and asking God to save them from hell, the everlasting fire, the lake of fire. So what I usually do is this. Knock, knock, who's there? Hey, how you doing? My name is Chris. You know, these are my friends. We're from Faithful Word Baptist Church. I like saying our name because I'm proud of my church. Amen? Amen? I like saying, hey, Faithful Word Baptist Church. You know, but I kind of changed it a little bit. Now I just say, hey, we're from Faithful Word Baptist, just inviting people to our service. You know, just want to give an invitation. Do you go to church anywhere? And the reason I do it that way is because before I used to sound like a weirdo. Here's how I used to sound. Hey, how you doing? Because I was nervous. But I sounded weird. Even when I would do it, I'm like, man, that sounds weird. I got to change it somehow. But in the moment, I'm just like, hey, this is all I know. I'm going to go with it until I figure this thing out. So this is what I used to do. Hello, my name is Chris. These are my friends. We're from Faithful Word Baptist Church. Just inviting people to church. Do you go to church anywhere? It's like, church, 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 church. If you do that, hey, keep doing it until you break out of that habit. Here's something that I recommend you do. Hey, we're from Faithful Word Baptist. The last thing I want them to hear is Baptist, in case they're like, oh, I'm not interested. I want them to know they're rejecting a Baptist church. So I said, hey, we're from Faithful Word Baptist, just inviting people to our service. You know, do you guys go to church anywhere? Come on, that sounds a little bit more cool. Come on. Amen. Come on. Keep it cool, people. Keep it cool. So then, of course, if they're like, oh, we're ready to go to church. Oh, no, we don't. Then the next step is easy. Well, listen, have you ever been to a Baptist church? That's the next thing I ask. They're going to be like, no, or yes, whatever they say, I just bring this up. Well, the reason I'm asking, because the most important thing to Baptist is make sure people go to heaven. I want to get straight to the point. That's what we're talking to everyone, because we want everyone to go to heaven. Because what they're thinking, oh, church people, they just want my money. They just want me to be a part of their church so I can pay for their pastor's Mercedes. Or their assistant pastor's Mercedes. Those that don't know, you'll figure it out later. Ask somebody that knows somebody. So then, of course, you know, if they say yes, hey, then you know the most important thing is going to heaven. You know, that's the most important thing about it, to make sure people don't go to hell. We're here, make sure people go to heaven. That ain't something they're going to say crazy. They'll be like, oh, cool. Then the next thing I do is say, listen, you know, because we're all going to be gone one day, but if you die right now, where are you going to go, heaven or hell? That's what I say, heaven or hell. That's what my pastor did to me, and that's what I'm doing to people, and I'll explain why in a second. Before, I used to say, hey, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? But here's kind of how I say that for a little bit afterwards. I said, listen, if you die right now, where are you going to go, heaven or hell? Do you not know? Heaven. But are you 100% sure? Not 100, but pretty sure. So then, of course, what we recommend is if they're not 100% sure, just say, well, listen, can I show you what the Bible says? Or you can ask them to see if they even believe the Bible. Hey, you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Well, can I just quickly show you what it says? You got about 5 minutes? No, I'm kind of busy right now. No worries. Well, can I give an invitation? Sure. They usually say yes when you bring it up that way. Sure, no worries. Here you go. Hey, listen, let me give you one more thing. You know, on the back of this paper is the Bible Way to Heaven. You know, this is the most important thing. Take a look at that when you get a chance. You know, but can I just show you one thing on the back of this before I go? Sure, no problem. Hey, the one thing I want to show you really quickly, because these you already know. All it says, nobody's perfect. None of us are perfect. The Bible says all have sinned. I know if I've sinned before. You ever sinned before? Oh, yeah, I've sinned before. Yeah, I've done bad things. I'm sure you've done bad things. Then after that, I just said, but listen, even though we do bad things, the Bible says that Christ still loves us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commenced his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we stopped being sinners. He died for us even though we were sinning against him. While we were sinners, he still died for us because he loves us and because there's a hell. That's how you get to hell right away. And then I just simply ask him, do you believe in hell? And usually they say yes. Then my next question is, well, what do you believe hell is? And they usually struggle with that answer. They're like, well, I think this life is hell. Well, I say, hey, can I just show you a quick verse on hell? Is that okay? And that's where I open up my Bible. It's tabbed up, ready to go. It's tabbed, the red tab. If you ever grab my Bible, the red tab goes straight to hell. The other yellow tabs, they're just for salvations. But if I ever tab up a Bible, that's how I do it. Red tab, yellow tab. Yellow tabs, all the verses on salvation. The red tab, straight to hell. So then, of course, the one place I go to is Mark 9, Mark 9:43. I say, can I just quickly show you some verse on hell? Because now, if they say yes, you know, I'm just going to get their attention. And if they reject me after that, who knows? Then it is what it is. Hopefully, they'll see the video, read the invite. I don't know. I don't know how much time I got with this person, which is why I'm trying to get to hell as fast as possible. So I can at least talk about the most important thing they need to know, that hell is real. And if you don't get saved, you're going to go there. So that's why I try to quickly get to it. And what I do is I go to Mark 9. And so, of course, if somebody says, well, I believe this life is hell, or I don't think there is a hell, or here's the true story. So I went out last Sunday, parked the van, looked for the first team, just figured I'd yoke up with the first team, and I link up with this one team. And so the soul winner's doing a good job. I'm just there, just kind of, just right there, just to be with them, you know, just to go soul winning with somebody, because I have to drop them off and find a place to park. So they get out, they go do their thing. First team I find, I figured, okay, I'll just join up with them and see what's going on. And then they're giving the gospel. They're good. They're doing a good job. You know, this person is like answering, yes, yes, yes. You know, nothing on the soul winner that I've seen that's just messed up. You know, but, you know, he gives them everything. He's like, yeah, that's exactly what the Bible says. Would you like me to pray with you? And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, this person was a young teenage girl. She was slow to answer. That always makes me nervous when they're slow to answer. Like, what do you have to do? What's it say you have to do? And she's like, believe. So then that always makes me nervous because I'm thinking they may not actually believe what they're saying if they're not saying it with confidence. Because if they're not confident, how am I supposed to be confident that they believe what you're showing them? But I'm just listening, and then sure enough, he prays with her, says, hey, listen, now that you're saved, you should come to church. If you need a ride, call the number. And then I'm thinking, okay, because I've seen that. I've seen where people just get somebody saved, seen it multiple times. Went out with this one guy, he's no longer part of our church. But I even told him, hey, why don't you double check if they really understood? Like, why do you just declare him saved right afterwards? We've never taught that. I mean, it's not going to hurt. Just a quick question. And here's what I mean by that. This person prays with them. Oh, well, now that you're saved, you come to church, et cetera. But what we like to say is, listen, when you pray with them, just ask them, did you mean that? Usually people say, yes, I did. You know, so then if you die right now, where are you going to go? I'm going to heaven. Why? Just a quick why. Well, what do you mean why? If somebody answers that way, do you really think they got it? No. It's like, why? Why would you go to heaven right now? Because I'm a good person. Did they get it? No. Who's had that happen to them? Look around. Look around. So just because you prayed with someone, don't just declare them saved. This is what happened. And I've seen this happen throughout the years. And so, of course, my new thing that I like to do is if they answer correctly, if they're like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I like to say, well, great. Now that you're sure you're going to heaven, now that you're, oh, no, this is what I do. So when they say, yeah, I'm going to heaven, I said, but are you 100% sure? And I kind of put them on the spot because I wanted them to answer from the heart. And I'll explain why I decided to do it this way. So when I say, listen, you just prayed now, Jesus give you eternal life. You believe he did it? Yes, he did. So if you die right now, where are you going to go? Heaven. But are you 100% sure a lion is a sin? They'll answer honestly. And I did do that, but not in that jerk type of way. So Jonathan was with me with a family of like five people. I'm giving him the gospel. Young children, they're agreeing to everything. He knows, remember that? Yeah. Like, hey, was I doing a good job? You know, I was entertaining them. Just so you know, when I have a big crowd, I use my tablet. I use my Z Fold. I got big verses. I blow them up, and I got, like, all these kids. I'm highly entertaining them, am I not? But am I sugarcoating it? No. Absolutely not. And I'll kind of show you what I do with the kids. You know, but then afterwards, I'm, like, double-checking. Hey, you guys believe in hell? Yeah. You guys, you know, what do you have to do? Believe. He's like, Dad, all you have to do? Yes. You have to be baptized? No. Can you lose it? No. What if you commit a really bad sin? No. These are five people. I was like, well, listen, you know, and I went through the whole thing. At the end, I'm like, hey, would you guys like me to pray and help you to ask Jesus to give eternal life? They all said yes, did they not? They all did, including the dad. The dad was there. So I got an adult and like four kids. So then I ended up saying, okay, then I'm going to help you guys pray and ask Jesus to save you. And I did. So I prayed with them. Then at the end, it's like, hey, you guys just asked Jesus Christ to give you eternal life. Do you guys believe he did it? Yes, he did. So if you guys die right now, where are you going to go? They all said heaven, did they not? Then I said, well, okay, one last question. Remember, lying is a sin. And this can, you guys can say, well, you're kind of making them doubt their salvation. But then I explained to the other people who answer in a different manner. So then I decided to say, okay, well, remember, kids, lying is a sin. So just be honest. But are you guys 100% sure you're going to heaven? Without even thinking about it, they all said no. They started shaking their heads. I'm not 100. I'm not 100. Neither am I. No. One by one, they all went down, did they not? Including the dad. But I already knew the dad didn't believe because he was trying to bring up baptism. So I kind of stopped focusing on him and kept focusing on the kids because he was kind of like a lost cause. He was kind of slowing me down. He was, you know, killing my thunder, you could say. So I decided I was still going to talk to the group, but I focused more on the kids. And these kids were old enough to understand. What would you say? 10, 8, 6? I don't think any of them was a teenager. 8 probably was the oldest, you know. But they were answering correctly. So I went with it, decided to do my thing. You know, but at the end, hey, it was what it was. Kids will just agree, but internally, they really don't agree. I'm not saying all kids, but I'm saying be careful with some of them. But the person from last Sunday was a teenage girl. She was answering correctly, but at the end, she didn't really believe. But you got to kind of do what you can, you know, to figure it out, like what exactly is going on. So what I obviously do is I ask people just a quick question, because I don't think it's a hard question. You know, once I introduce myself, once I tell them over there, once I ask them, do they know for sure they're going to heaven? Then the next step is simply just saying, well, listen, you know, if you're 100% sure or going to heaven, great. You know, but what is it? They give the good answer. If I believe they're saved, great, move on. Then I try to say, now that you're saved, you know what God wants you to do? Get other people saved. We can help you do that. Come to church, bring a friend. We can tell them about heaven. We can tell them about hell. We can show them how to get saved, et cetera, et cetera. But for other people that they're not sure if there's a hell or not, then the place that I go to is Mark 9. So we're right there in Mark 9. So I'll quickly wrap it with this. I don't even know how much time I got left. I pressed the wrong button. All right, 36:58. I'm going to wrap it up with this. So here's basically what I do with people that answer like this. So, believe in hell? Yeah. What do you believe hell is? I don't know. A bad place? Do you believe it's fire? Could be. Who's had those answers? But the thing is, if you go to Revelation 21:8, which is what a lot of us do, you got to be careful assuming that they actually agree with what you showed them. Because a lot of times, 99% of the time, you go to Revelation 21:8 and you show them, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, hustlers, adulterers, etc., and all liars, and then you explain it well, the lake of fire, guess what they all tend to say? Yeah, that place is hell. Hey, what place is this talking about? That place is hell. But that doesn't mean they believe it's real. Just giving you the heads up. Just from what I've seen. Because this happened in Mexico. We had two soul winners, went into some kids, and I thought it was a miracle that we drove 20 minutes the next day to a different location, and there they are on the streets. And then I go up to them, and they ended up getting saved the second day. I mean, when they're answering, we're not sure where we're going when we die, they're not saved. Even though somebody else prayed with them the day before. It just happens. You know, but here we believe that they need to believe in hell in order to be saved. Amen? Amen. So let me just quickly show you how I do it. And I do it because this is just how I do it. It works for kids, especially kids. So right there in Mark 9:43, I just said, well, let me show you, just show you some verses on hell really quick. And I'm not saying that you have to do it this way. It's not what we're teaching. The best soul winning teachings, I think, on the planet are Pastor Anderson's Detroit soul winning marathon seminars that he gave. He gave about 5 of them. Who knows what I'm talking about? I just want to get a number. Look, 90% of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I got to get that in your hands somehow, some way. So hopefully, where's Brother Ramon? Hopefully we can get that started, right? Where we get a whole soul winning Rumble channel, just nothing but soul winning videos, and just start letting people know where they can start watching and listening. And your soul winning will get fast really quick. Those 5 seminars, they're really good. Who's seen them again? Hey, I know he's your pastor, but aren't they the best that's on the planet? Amen. The best. They're the best. All 5. You listen to all 5, instantly you'll become like a really amazing soul winner. Amen. Just being honest. That's just how I felt. Like, wow. Like, pastor is, like, preaching. Like, he's on his A game again. But this is about giving the gospel. So if you're like, man, this sermon ain't doing it, go over there. He got you, all right? He'll make up for what I do. But this is just what I do, just to have fun with it. And, you know, Jonathan saw me in action with Mark 9:43. Those kids were going nuts. So here's what I do. I said, hey, can I just quickly show you some verses? Yeah, let me show you. This is what I call the hell chapter, Mark 9, because I want to talk about hell. Because this is a person who's not sure what hell is. You literally just showed them Revelation 21:8. Tell them, what place is this talking about? They literally just said hell. I just happened to ask, do you believe in hell? They said, no, I don't. It happens. Who's had that happen to them? Try it out. You'll be surprised. People will literally look at that verse and say, yeah, that's talking about hell. He's like, do you believe in hell? No. Do you believe in hell? Yep. What do you believe it is? I don't know. Valhalla? That's what I believe it is. Well, can I just quickly show you what hell is? And then I get into it. And so, of course, Mark 9, this is what I do. I read the whole thing. The whole thing right away. I'm just going to read it with you guys. Don't worry. I'm hoping to wrap it up in 15 minutes. So Mark 9 says this. And if the hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having 2 hands to go into hell, into the fire, that never shall be quenched. With the one thigh, the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter hold into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. And then I make them read it. Into the what? Fire. That never shall be quenched. Where their one thigh is not, and the fire is not quenched. And I just explain. Listen, this is not going to stop. This is not quenched. You cannot put it out. It can never be turned off. It says, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. And then I just point that part out where it says kingdom of God. It says it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God. And I tell them, what place is that talking about? Heaven. I'm like, do you at least believe in heaven? Oh, yeah, I believe in heaven. So the kingdom of God, that's heaven, says it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into what? I make them read it. If you got your Bible, it says hell fire. Where there weren't they not, and I keep pointing it out, listen, and the fire is not quenched, for everyone shall be salted with fire. That's where I finish it. And I just tell them this. Listen, Jesus is not saying to cut off your hand. Jesus is not saying to cut off your foot. Jesus is not saying to pluck out your own eyeball so you can go to heaven. He's kind of trying to show us how painful it is. And this is how I get the kids' attention. You know, and I've never done this, but I'm trying to get your attention right now. So this is from Brother Thompson. And Brother Thompson sent me this, I think on a Christmas week. But he sent me one of these. So Brother Thompson sends me one of these, and I'm like, great, awesome. Hopefully he's not watching. And I'm thinking, what do I need this for? Like self-defense? You know? It's already got 2 guns I carry all the time. What do I need this for? Like, for real. It's like, I don't know if I can throw it and hit something with it. Like, man, they'll pick it up and I gotta run. Now they're gonna hit me with it. So I'm like, what am I gonna use this for? And I've never thought to this day what I can use it for. I'm just not that woodsy type of dude. I don't go to the woods. I'm a city boy. I like Dubai. I don't like Alaska, you know? That's not me, you know? I like technology. I don't like smelling the bushes, roses, none of that. You know? I don't like any of that stuff. So I'm like, what the heck am I ever going to use this for? Until today, baby. Until today. And this is what I tell the kids. Hey, listen. You saw where it says, if the eye offend you, cut it off or cut it out. If your foot offend you, cut it off. Eye offend you, pluck it out. It's like, hey, God's not telling you to do these things so you can go to heaven. He's kind of trying to show you how painful hell is. Because it says, If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And it says, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Lola, you're laughing. You know where I'm going with this. And it says, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. And this is how I explain it to little kids and even adults. Just kind of wake them up and show them that they have something to be afraid of. I simply say this. Listen, I'll be honest with you. This is what I tell them. It says right there, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's like, listen, I can probably see myself. I can probably see myself if I had to. If I had to. Cut off my hand. Cut off my hand. You know? If I had to. Cut off my hand. In order to escape hell, I can see myself doing it. I can totally see myself like, ah, like squirting everywhere and passing out. Totally see that happening. I can. I can see myself doing that like, man, I hope those bicep curls are kicking in right now because I can't afford to mess this up. I don't want to chop twice. So I'm just like, bam, I can see myself doing that. Even my foot, I can kind of see myself doing my foot, even though it's almost physically impossible. But if I could have those go-go gadget legs and just bam, I can probably do that. Probably can. But I thought long and hard. Long and hard. And I always told myself, I always told the kids too, you know one thing that I just cannot, I just don't think I can do it. Someone's always going to have to do it, and y'all going to have to hold me down hard. I just don't see myself being able to pluck out my own eye. I mean, with what, my bare hands? Hell no. Like, how do you even start to do that? With a spoon? Oh, pop it out real quick, maybe. But nah, I just don't see myself being able to do that. Maybe you, but not me. Chopping it, bam. I think I can do that. Foot, probably, not as confident as my hand. Eyeball, no way. No way. But that's what I tell the kids. Hey, just imagine cutting off your hand. Just imagine how painful that will be. Now imagine cutting off your foot, how painful that will be. Now imagine having to pluck out your, that's the price to go to heaven. Jesus is like, hey, only people that pluck out their eyes are allowed to go to heaven. Let's go. Or you got an eternity of hell to pay for all the bad stuff you've ever done. I'd be like, I don't know, Jesus, you're going to have to get Michael. Where is he? Is he busy? Gabriel, where you at? Help a brother out. I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. Maybe you can, but I can't. But just imagine that pain, chopping off your hand, your foot, and your own eyeball. Imagine that type of pain. That's what I tell even adults. Hey, that's the kind of pain you're going to suffer if you end up in hell. That's why it's done this way. And then I tell them, look how many times the Bible says hell. 3 times just in this small section. Look how many times it says that it's fire. 7 times. 7 times it says that it's fire. And then 5 times. 5 times Jesus tells us that it's eternal. You think he's joking around? Guess what? 99.9, pretty much 100% of the people usually say, no, I don't think he's joking around. He's like, hey, you understand these verses? Yes, I do. But more importantly, do you believe them now? And guess what most people do? I believe them now. And this is the people that aren't sure there is a hell. These are the people that say, well, I believe there's a hell. What's hell? Valhalla. You believe in hell? Yes, I do. What do you believe hell is? This life is hell. No, let me show you that it's not. This is what I used to show them that it's not. This is what I used to show them that hell is hot. This is what I used to show them that hell is painful. Hell is forever. And you don't want to mess around with this because if you're wrong, guess where you're going to go? This is where you're going to go. And so, of course, I tell them, but if Jesus loves you, think he wants you to go to hell? They usually say, no, he doesn't want me to go to hell. Yeah, but you know who does? The devil. The devil wants you to go to hell because he's going to hell too. And it says in Matthew 25, 41, I quickly go to Matthew 25, 41. It says, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if those two sections of the Bible can't get the job done, then it's probably time to move on. I'm working on a soul winning song. Since Pastor has us on Spotify now, he has us on Apple Music, all the greatest Faithful Word hits, they're all up there. Who knew that? Who didn't know that? I'm glad you know that. If you don't know that, you know it now. And so I've been working on a soul winning song. Y'all want to hear the chorus? Let me give it to you because I haven't really finished my song. Here's the chorus. Here's what it's going to sound like. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. Here's my soul winning song to help you remember these points. Bam, bam, bam. You gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. We don't count our souls while we're counting at the door. There'll be time enough for counting when the winning's done. You're like, what the heck? Here's what the heck. When it comes to soul winning, you got to know when to hold them. Don't just move on. Revelation 21:8, what place is that talking about? Hell, you're right. Let me show you another verse. Make sure they believe in it before you move on. So you got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. After you show them verses and they're just arguing with you and they don't want to change, it's time to fold them. Amen? Amen. Know when to walk away. Sorry, brother, but hey, that's what the Bible says. I got to go. And you got to know when to run. That's when the pit bull comes out. Ah, holy crap! Damn, dog! Who had to run? Also, look at the hands. That ain't me. Look around. Don't try to be the tough guy. Oh, there's dogs coming this way. Oh, we can take them. Better run to somebody's house and knock for help or something. So, when it comes to hell, that's the biggest thing I want to highlight, is make sure they believe in it. We're not like Jack Treber. After I spoke to him, it turns out he doesn't even believe in hell, but praise the Lord, he's going to heaven. No, he's not. He's going to hell. Yeah. That's where that guy's going. Sorry, but that woman that we were talking about, I was talking about earlier, her name is Janet. Sorry, Janet, but you're going to hell. She was old when we left, so she's probably in hell right now. And I'm sorry, but if you convert someone, you're like, hey, now that you're saved, et cetera, et cetera. And I end up asking them, well, listen, now that you're saved, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to get other people saved. You know, and let me ask you this. Somebody would ask you, what must I do to be saved? You know, what would you tell them? I don't know. Well, you'd be saved from hell. Do you not believe in hell? No, I don't. And it's like, yo, so when you just pray with this person, we ain't counting them today. I don't care if you get mad. We ain't going to count them. And that's happened many times. I'm not trying to go so many with you just to pick you apart. I'm not doing that. But sometimes if I notice these things, and this one person I was with last Sunday, he's a humble dude. He's still here. I love him to death. I just want to show him something. Like, hey, you need to be aware of this stuff. Because it took me years to figure out that sometimes people agree, but internally, they really disagree. And I don't want you guys to falsely convert people. Not that you're sending them to hell. That's not the point. The point is that I've had situations where people literally say, well, I don't believe in hell. Showed in Mark 9:43. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with that. But my point is, I don't think I deserve it. I mean, I don't think I deserve to go to hell. Then I changed them with this verse, Acts 2:31. And he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Jesus' soul was not left where? In hell. Why did he go to hell? Because of his sins? No, because of your sins. That's what I told this woman at the door. And she said, you know what? Now you make sense. Now I believe it. You're right. I do deserve to go to hell. But this is a woman that wasn't even sure what hell was. And after that, you think it was hard for me to get her saved? No. Once she realized, you're right, I do deserve to go to hell. Well, listen, if you want God to save you, he can save you right now. You know, if you want him to save you forever, he'll do it right now. You know, the Bible says that all things which you ask, believing, you shall receive. You ask him to save you right now, he'll do it. You ask him for salvation, eternal life, it's all the same thing. You know, it's your ticket to heaven. You're not going to go to hell if you call upon the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Hell. You understand it now? You believe it now? Great. And that's kind of how you need to, I guess, finish it. Not exactly that way, but I want you guys to be aware of this. Because you guys do a great job at the door. Hey, my name is such and such. Just want to give an invitation to church. Can I give you one? Sure. Hey, that works. But let's be honest, it'll get awkward if they say no. No, I'm good. Some people you can't do anything about. They'll lock that door on you. As soon as they open it and they see you got a Bible, they say, oh, no, I'm good. Boom, nothing you can do with them. But I've gotten many people saved just by saying, well, listen, can I just give you a little bit of information about our church? On the back of this is the Bible Way to Heaven. Can I just quickly show you one verse, even though I'm going to quote everything on the back? They're like, sure. And as soon as I say, well, listen, the one thing I want to show you where it says God commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died because he loves us and because there's a hell. Do you believe in hell? Yeah, what do you believe hell is? I don't know. He said, well, you know what? Can I take a little bit more time to show you some verses on hell? Yeah, go ahead. 20 minutes later, they're praying and getting saved. Who's seen me do that? Look around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ramon, you seen me too? 9 people have seen me. I'm talking about people that didn't have time. Are those the people you guys are talking about? People that didn't have time. Oh, I don't got time right now. I got stuff to do. Well, can I show you one verse? 20 minutes later, getting saved. 9 people. Why? Because I try to get to the most important thing right away. I want to give them a reason to listen to me. And as soon as they start seeing with their own eyes how many times the Bible says fire and hell together, they kind of wake up a little bit, and then they realize, well, I don't got nothing to lose. Just finish it up, bro. I'm not saying I believe you, but man, I didn't realize that it said hell that many times, and it was fire, etc., that many times. And so, of course, this isn't like a super, super detailed soul winning sermon, but if you take anything away from this sermon, it's just make sure they actually believe everything they're saying yes to. A lot of stuff is easy, but the most important stuff right here, the one about hell, let's just realize this for now, that sometimes they, yeah, I believe in hell, they got the right help, but they don't believe they deserve it. And that's a whole other sermon, but you guys have plenty of, verses, I think, in your head so you can help people out when it comes to that. So I'm at 54:48, and that's where I'm going to end it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. Obviously, Father, there's a lot of things we can learn about soul winning. It is the most important thing, not the only thing, but the most important thing to seek and to save those which are lost. Lord, even if you're somebody who's not considered amazing by the world, all of us can do something amazing for you, and that's to save people from the fire that they're going to obviously be in forever if they don't get saved. So I ask you once again, Lord, to just help us to be better Christians, better soul winners, better church members, better fathers, better friends, better sons and daughters. And we ask you to do this for your honor and glory so we can serve you in the best way possible. Amen.
All right, let's sing one last song before we go. Song number 281. Song number 281. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Song number 281. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Why? great singing. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.